We're entering a new era, a very spooky new era. It's getting to the point where I'm not really sure if there's anything even good American politicians could do to undo what is happening. For the past couple of weeks, American political wonks have watched in awe, jaw agape, as American market oil prices have stubbornly refused to rise as the rest of the world's have. And a lot of that has been because the Trump administration is so invested in its strategy of profiting off of global instability by doing insider trading, right? So every time Trump worries about the markets going up or wants the markets to go up, he'll say that the war with Iran is about to end. And every time he wants the markets to go down, he'll say that the war with Iran is only just beginning. And he's been doing this up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But, and I'm very happy to announce this to you guys, it's not working anymore. Here are the crude oil futures for the past 5 days, up to $103, a smooth gradient upwards. We had the classic, like, Friday and Monday market disruptions. You know, on Friday, Trump says that we're about to nuke Iran, and right after markets close, and right before markets open on Monday, he says, ooh, peace deal almost reached. But it's not doing anything anymore. The oil prices are just rising now. Yeah, the president who cried wolf. I mean, you can see we've had these fluctuations. They've been whiplashing back and forth for a while, but now we have seen a stable rise, and we are higher than the price that we hit for any reasonable length of time back during the, like, opening panic session, which means it's going to keep going up for a while, at least in my opinion. There might still be some fluctuations, but I think it's finally happening. It's going to be real bad. Gas prices are already up like 40%. Diesel up even more than that. The average gas price across the United States is about to hit $4. In East Asia, there are market crises. The Philippines, Thailand, Japan, South Korea have all panicked and begun their own, you know, national initiatives for conserving fuel. All across East Africa, like the entire eastern coast, pretty much immediately they had shortages. You know, these countries do not have the massive reserves of petroleum that we do. It's already begun to hit as well in Europe, and it's only a matter of time before it hits us. Bloomberg is openly talking about $220 a barrel. Well, considering the fact that the most recent credible news we've seen from the Middle East is A, the invasion of Karg Island seems almost inevitable at this point, and B, apparently the president is considering an operation to recover the enriched uranium from the deep underground facilities that we bombed last year, which would be an incredibly costly, expensive, and dangerous operation undertaken for literally no reason. Yeah, it might hit $220 a barrel. We'll have to see. It doesn't help that the strategy for insider trading has been getting made fun of, right? This is the speaker for Iran's parliament. Heads up, pre-market so-called news or truth is often just a setup for profit-taking. Basically, it's a reverse indicator. Do the opposite. If they pump it, short it. If they dump it, go long. See something tomorrow, you know the drill. That was yesterday. Predictably, today, Trump opens with the truth. The U.S. is in serious discussions with a new and more reasonable regime to end our military operations in Iran. It did nothing. I think he's finally run out of the gas on this one. It did nothing. It's like part two, you know what I mean? Your next line will be, except everyone knew what his next line would be, so it wasn't that impressive when the Speaker of Iran's parliament said so. Great progress has been made, but if for any reason a deal is not shortly reached, which it probably will be, and if the Hormuz Strait is not immediately open for business, we will conclude our lovely stay in Iran by blowing up and obliterating their electric generating plants, oil well, Karg Island, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard this before. It doesn't matter. He's bored, isn't he? Well, we know Trump is bored, but he's also losing his ability to insider trade, or to, I should say, to provoke market manipulation so inside traders can benefit from it, which means that him and his inner circle are no longer even personally benefiting from this war. We're all going to suffer. A lot of Indian stuff reporting on several people at the UN quitting after issuing a statement that a nuclear strike in Iran's being planned. Yes, the United Nations has been seriously discussing and planning for, I'm speaking very broadly here, the United Nations. There has been talk at the United Nations of a potential nuclear escalation to the war, which, by the way, if it happens, would almost certainly come from us, not from Israel at this stage. In fact, I believe that in response to our planned amassed invasion of Iran, Israel said that they would not join us militarily. Like, goyim dead only on this one, I'm afraid. Nasty stuff. Our greatest ally. Israel's Channel 12 says that in case of a U.S. ground operation in Iran, Israel's soldiers will not be participating on the ground. Phenomenal stuff. No, there's a legitimate fear of a nuclear strike, for sure. I mean, why not? It seems like Trump single-handedly ended Western hegemony over the global economy. You know, like the downstream effects of the strikes in Iran look like they're going to unwind the complicated and entangled net of alliances and financial incentives that have allowed us to control the global oil market for decades. Italy's defense minister says the intel that he's seen keeps him up at night. Yeah. 2 nights ago, I didn't sleep, and not because of the referendum. Minister Guido Crosetto, the conflict in Iran keeps you awake, but the government suffered a huge defeat in the referendum. Is the honeymoon over? I live this war and its possible consequences 24 hours a day. I'm forced to know things that no longer let me sleep because of what might happen in the coming weeks because of the effects it'll have on the economy and our daily lives. I understand that it's much more intriguing to try to twist the knife in that wound you've decided to call a government defeat, which I, on the other hand, consider a defeat for justice and some democratic values, but I'm not dodging it. So this is the defense minister of a fascist regime, and a journalist is trying to get his goat, being like, you lost hard last night. And his actual literal response is, okay, I know you're trying to like get me down right now, but I'm much more focused on the shit that I heard, what's going to go down in Iran. Like, okay, that's super dick move of you, by the way, but like, just to let you know, that's not even close to the top thing in my mind. So you can just wonder. I mean, it's a defense minister in a NATO country. You can decide what intel he's been exposed to, because we don't know. What's this in reference to? What's the referendum about? Italian government stuff, not relevant to what we're talking about. Local domestic elections relating to the Meloni's party and their popularity. Not relevant to the other business. Dollars as a share of the foreign global currency reserves at lowest level. Wow, that's quite a sell-off. Bloomberg Intelligence USD share of global foreign currency reserves in percent. Jesus, from the high right here, I guess at the right before the Iraq war at 64%, all the way down to 40%, and it might go quite a bit lower still. You can really feel the Trump terms too. Look at that, 2016 to 2020, and then right here. I guess the end of the Biden term right here. Did you see the leaked video of Netanyahu saying he funds Hamas? Yeah, but we already knew that. Where's Biden? Biden, for the most part, is the relatively stable period right here. It's looking real bad, guys. Oh, look, it's already up to 103.10. When I began this segment, it was at, 102.92 or something? What are the chances Trump throws Israel under the bus for this? It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter at this point. I still think that a lot of people don't realize, and I used this analogy earlier, and I'm cribbing it off other people. Oh my God. But like, it's like the weeks before COVID hit America. You know what I mean? People are under, it doesn't matter at this point. The consequences of our bombing of Iran are going to be so severe and so longstanding that they will overwhelm whatever temporal decision making Trump makes in the wake of it. There's no uncorking this champagne bottle. We're looking at, you know, WTI. Let's look at Brent. Look at that, man. Brent is at 113, a stable and continuous rise over the past week. The market manipulation business probably isn't going to work out so well anymore. So we're entering the cool zone? Yes, I think so. Beijing might be a guarantor of any future deal. Well, yeah, who would trust Americans? What's the cool zone? It's a widely used and respected term among historians. It's like a train that's already lost control of its brakes. It's not derailed yet, but it's picking up speed and there's nothing to stop it. Kuwait desalination plant taken offline. Really? Like just now? No, okay. 7 hours ago. But like, not seven, 19 hours. Okay. Hours ago, yeah. Indian worker killed an Iranian attack in Kuwait power and desalination plant. Woo! Toll rises to 8. Iran denies responsibility for the attack? Sure. Who cares? Iran denies bombing the plant might have been Israel. It doesn't really matter at this point, to be honest with you. Is this a good time to start my driver's license? It's not really about the gas prices in the long run. It's about inflation broadly. It's about food prices. Once we start to see the downstream effects of the increase in the cost of fertilizer, there's a lot of stuff. Not to be super annoying about it, but you're dead wrong on the Italian referendum. Am I? My understanding was the thing that the defense minister was being chastised for was the fact that his party suffered a defeat. Am I incorrect on this? You're right. Okay, yeah, that was the extent of my knowledge. Did I say something that was incorrect? Yeah, Meloni lost big time. Yeah, okay, that's my thought. Yeah, I thought that was what I was. I think Chatter misunderstood you. I probably described it poorly. I mean, I didn't really know what the referendum was about. I just understood it was something Meloni was unhappy about. That's the only thing that I really saw. Have you heard what's going to happen when the helium supply drops like this? I've heard bad things will happen. You know, I'm no expert in the subject. Dude, that's true. That's like everything he said was true. It's all going to be gone. True. We're entering a new era, a very, very spooky new era. And I don't think it's getting to the point where I'm not really sure if there's anything even good American politicians could do to undo what is happening, which I guess kind of it goes back into my point a little bit about how the real things that will end the American empire, like the real consequences, will be a product not of Trump specifically, but rather of a bipartisan consensus, which I stand by the way, because Kamala Harris was hawkish on Iran. I'm not accepting disagreement on this one. It is undeniable that the Democrats would have handled this better, but the Democrats also postured aggression towards Iran and refused to criticize Israel in a way that I was satisfied by. So the underlying motivational factor, for all we know, we'd still be in this damn war. Didn't she say Iran was the greatest threat? Yeah, which is an absolutely insane thing to say. Just like an unbelievably stupid thing to say. And only makes sense if you think that Israel is part of America, which it is not, to my knowledge. I could be wrong on that. Besant fills you with confidence as ever. We still coping? Man, look at that global stock market exchange. The world is not happy. Kamala would not be doing this to the world. I mean, Kamala wouldn't like run on it, but Israel was already getting to do whatever it wanted under Biden, weren't they? Like they were doing a genocide in Gaza. They were expanding illegal settlements in the West Bank. They were invading Lebanon and they were striking Syria. So, like Mike Johnson's excuse for how we entered this war initially was that Iran was going to be attacked by Israel anyway, and we had to join in because Israel would retaliate by hitting our bases. I don't really know what Kamala would have done differently there. Like you can say Kamala is smarter than Trump, and that's true, but also she and Biden were totally deferential to Israel. That's cope. Kamala failed to get elected. Coulda, shoulda, woulda is meaningless. Well, it's not cope because it's important to understand that the world is not ending right now because Trump specifically is a retard. Trump being a retard might hasten the factors that lead to this collapse. But we have to appreciate the fact that a lot of this, like, we were already hurtling towards the wall. You know, we were already falling down the pit. We'd already sacrificed a bunch of international legitimacy defending anything and everything that Israel did. Now, Israel tried to do this under Biden, but even Biden, who allowed what you listed, was blocked by the Biden amendment. Yeah, but the Biden wouldn't have stopped Israel from attacking Iran. And what's more, like I'm willing to bet that Israel delayed on some of their plans because they were hoping for a Trump win because they knew Trump would be easier to work with. But had Biden or Kamala Harris won in 24, I feel like they probably would have gone ahead with this anyway. Really don't think she would have done this, Voss. She just would have stopped Netanyahu from escalating. I mean, I don't know. I guess you can. I guess we'll never really know. All I can tell you is that Democratic leadership has not meaningfully condemned Trump for what he's doing. Not now, and not back when he struck Iran last year either. You know, Schumer and Jeffrey's criticisms of both of these attacks have largely been procedural, but they don't disagree with the underlying logic. The underlying logic being, you know, we have to defend Israel no matter what, greatest ally in the Middle East, Iran's the most dangerous regime, they cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, they were developing a nuclear weapon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Like if you can't condemn the underlying logic, it'd be like saying it's bad that Germany invaded Poland, but believing that Poland was genociding ethnic Germans on their western border. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you might disagree with what Germany did, but you're kind of supporting the reason they said they had to do it. I don't. This is the dumbest possible regime that had no exit strat and couldn't even anticipate losing control of the Strait of Hormuz. So your suggestion then is that Kamala Harris would have watched as Israel did this and then gracefully exited or initiated peace talks? I guess I'm just not sure what the play-by-play would be, you know? She would have done it, but smarter? The instability in the Middle East is the product of a bipartisan foreign policy engagement, you know? It's not just Donald Trump now. What's happening right now has been brewing for decades, working with the illegitimate Saudi, UAE, so on and so forth, Gulf state governments, prioritizing our relationship with them as oil providers over human rights in their countries, castigating and, you know, ostracizing the Iranian regime, giving Israel permission to do whatever it wants. Like, I don't know, like this has been building for a long time. Did Germany do that? Yeah. That was Germany's like main excuse going into Poland. That was their big, like, we have to liberate the ethnic Germans in the western border of Poland, that sort of thing. Yeah, Masaigu, but that implies that Israel is rational in what it decides to bite off, and also that we wouldn't have supported them to some extent then. Anyway, we're not having an argument about whether or not Kamala Harris would have done exactly what Trump has done, because I didn't say that. What we're having an argument about is whether or not this powder keg that's built up was the product of a broader American strategy. And the answer is it absolutely was. The way Israel is, the way Iran is, the way the Gulf states are, and the way the Strait of Hormuz is, are all the product of decades of action that we've taken. It was always a powder keg, and we've only been adding more powder since October 7th, you know? Israeli Parliament officially passed tolling bill for the Strait. That's so based of them. Get a little dosh. They know the economy's looking bad, too. They're trying to tighten their belt a little bit. Yeah, but if the Democrats are elected now, what could they do? I don't think they could. Like I said, I think that you can't uncork this champagne bottle. You know what I mean? How do you explain the anomaly of Obama nuclear deal? I'm not going to lie. Obama might have been our only out. As much as I dislike Obama personally, keep in mind that the JCPOA was opposed by Chuck Schumer. You know, Bush Sr., Clinton, Bush Jr., Trump, Biden, and Kamala were all more deferential to Israel than Obama. Obama was unique in this respect. My guess, honestly, because he's young. Sounds crazy, but like, the infinite deference to Israel comes to a large extent from A, the Christian evangelism or evangelicism, and B, like connection to the MIC power players that kind of orchestrate our relationship with the state of Israel. And, you know, Clinton, their big stock, you know, stock New York City fat cat types, at least they turned into them, you know. And I mean, Biden's pretty anomalous himself. Kamala Harris just did what Biden did, or said she would do what Biden did. But Obama was young, not really connected to those types, you know? He might have carved a different path. I think the JCPOA was a good piece of extension of goodwill to the Iranian people. Keep in mind, Obama also took Cuba off the designated state sponsor of terror list, you know? Tried to end the embargo. He was... You know, I don't like him, but credit where credit is due. He was good on Iran and Cuba. Yeah, Netanyahu hated Obama for the Iran deal, and Schumer was against it, too. Might have been Obama was the last time that we had a politician who was both differential and popular enough to really oppose Israel. No, Schumer wrote out a big old article, his Substack post back in 2015, on why he did not like the JCPOA. And it's basically just Republican propaganda. I mean, he's saying here the exact same stuff that Republicans are saying to defend Trump's incursion into Iran now, which is like, they're an Islamic regime, they're anti-Semitic, you know, they're a threat, they're going to get the nukes anyway, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, I will vote to disapprove this agreement, not because I believe war is a viable or desirable option, nor to challenge the path of diplomacy. It is because I believe Iran will not change. If you think that Iran will not change in a treaty, you are against the path of diplomacy. This is contradictory. You can't say that the enemy cannot be reasoned with and then say, well, I'm not getting in the way of diplomacy. If diplomacy is not an option, then war is the only option. That's what you're laying out. And of course, like, Schumer won't condemn this war either. So it's because I believe Iran will not change, and under this agreement, it'll be able to achieve its dual goals of eliminating sanctions while ultimately retaining its nuclear and non-nuclear power. Nuclear and non-nuclear power. Schumer, that's all power. That's all of the power that anyone can have. Every person and country is a combination of nuclear and non-nuclear power. What do you mean? Better to keep U.S. sanctions in place, strengthen them, and enforce secondary sanctions on other nations, and pursue the hard-trodden path of diplomacy once more, difficult as it may be. I'm hard-trodden path of diplomacy, but also I don't believe they can change. And also, you know what will really pressure the Iranian regime to change? Maintaining the sanctions that we've had on them for 40 years that have not even remotely changed their government. I know they've had like a, you know, familial religious theocratic dictatorship for 40 years, but surely if we keep just doing the same thing we were already doing, this is going to change. Crazy. I fucking hate him. I hate him so much. I hate this guy so much. My job as a Senate minority leader is to keep Democrats pro-Israeli. Yeah. It's not working, dog. I mean, from IRGC officer posting at the moment, they see an intent on trying to destroy Trump, the GOP and pro-Israeli democratic political power in the USA by nuking gas prices via the Strait of Hormuz. The way they're posting, I almost expect them to sort of super hack in America. Well, sure. Okay, hold on. Masaigo, I feel like you're laying it on a little bit thick, okay? If the Iranians are smart, and I have every reason to believe they're smarter than we are, than American leadership is, they would understand that the Democrats will just continue the status quo that was maintained prior to... Keep in mind, Iran was not doing well a year ago, you know? Not well at all. Like, the sanctions and their global ostracization from the... I mean, socially and economically, from the world... It's really cut into their ability to do standard nation building stuff, you know? Like they've literally been pumping money into proxies in the region to funnel, you know, regime change wars abroad, positioning themselves against Israel but not directly. I don't think they want to return to the status quo. I think they want to end American and Israeli influence over the Middle East, which is reasonable for them to want. And if they want to do that, they will not just wait for a Dem victory, you know? They have to keep turning the screws forever. At least for a while, which is what I hope they do. You know, I do not want a Democrat to come in and then just reset everything to the status quo. You don't fix, you know, like a powder keg Middle East situation by dusting the fire off and then replacing the unlit powder kegs, you know? By the way, Saudi Arabia also opposed the nuclear deal, lol. Yeah, well, they're Hitlerite, you know. Well, the new leader doesn't have that fatwa nuts. We need the status quo right now. But if we get the status quo right now, in the future, we're just going to be back here again. We have a rampaging, militant, Jewish supremacist Israeli state armed with more weaponry than the rest of the Middle East combined, doing whatever they want, invading Lebanon. And we have a bunch of, we have Hezbollah and Hamas and Houthi, a bunch of like Iranian-backed Islamist pseudo-regimes fighting against their expansion, fighting against Saudi Arabia in the case of the Houthis. We have attacks on Yemen, you know. Israel's changed its mind about Jolani and is now like positioning regime change in Syria, which I'm sure they'll get around to, in addition to all the other shit they want to stir up. The status quo was always unstable. We don't want to go back to it. It's just going to lead us here again, you know. We need a fundamental solution. You got holes in your roof and it's raining and you're praying for the day the rain ends so you cannot fix the holes in the roof. Will this increase the price of Dubai chocolate? I feel like you guys aren't taking this very seriously. It's unreasonable to suggest that Harris would have been this bad, this clumsy, this thoughtless, this hawkishness aside. She would have listened to the Pentagon, who said this was all an awful idea. Okay, but like, are you satisfied with that? A bipartisan status quo that continues to empower a rampaging genocidal state that's trying to reclaim its biblical borders, maintain sanctions against Iran, allows the powder keg to continue to build? Like, wouldn't it be nice, just hypothetically, if we had a Democratic presidential candidate who wasn't a fucking psychopath when it came to Middle Eastern foreign policy? Because Biden was the adult in the room. Actually, from his age, he was the most adult in almost every room he was in. And in spite of that, what did we get in the Middle East? Mass destabilization because of his deference to Israel. We've built more and more towards an almost like worst case scenario because of it. You don't have to be satisfied with it. It's just stupid to act like things wouldn't be better. I feel like, oh man, I have said many times Kamala Harris would not be as bad as Trump. I don't know why we're pretending that I haven't said that. What I'm saying is that Trump and Kamala Harris have both been walking in the same direction. There is a wall, and one day we will collide with it. And right now we're moving very quickly towards it. And under Kamala Harris, they would have kept walking towards it. That's my point. Yeah, like the problem with centering your electoral strategy around lesser evilism is that people do in fact forget that they're voting for a lesser evil, you know? The powder keg that is the Middle East has been getting worse and worse and worse with decades, and much worse since October 7th. This is just a fact. And no American president, save for Obama, seems to have been willing to address the underlying problems there, which unrelenting Israeli military and territorial ambitions, our ostracization of Iran, our reliance on the Gulf states. Those are the big three in terms of like what we can do, what we have power over, you know? Those three are the big ones. And they have not been getting better. Trump is certainly worse on them than, you know, Obama 3 or Biden 2 or Kamala 1 would be, but you know, just because someone's going in a bad direction doesn't mean they stay that way. Nothing Biden or Kamala ever did ever indicated to me they would fix these problems or even try to. Everything Biden did over the course of his presidency told me that he was the one of the worst people possible to have in charge after October 7th. I will not be gaslit into forgetting how it felt to be lied to over and over by these grinning, like Department of State psychopaths who would just straight up tell journalists they were wrong on reporting that had been internationally vetted, dozens and dozens of global NGOs, agencies reporting on the genocide, on specific atrocities, and they would just laugh it off. They were fucking demonic. I'm not forgetting that shit, okay? They were really, really bad. I'm not getting gaslit into forgetting, oh, Trump's great, Trump's bad too. Yeah, Trump's bad too. But you know what? In my opinion, the State Department under Marco Rubio has not yet hit the highs of sociopathy that they hit post October 7th under Biden. Marco Rubio himself might be a psychopath, but I will not forget how I felt watching those fucking day-by-day briefings where these so-called liberals, these so-called, you know, champions of liberal values, had to grin and shrug off every one of thousands of individual reports on openly illegal and immoral behavior from the Israeli state that would have made our aid to them illegal, that did make our aid to them illegal, and they just laughed it off. It was nothing to them. They were just grinning through it. It was like a joke to them. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit. My cortisol levels are spiking. Thinking about it. Evidence the point that Biden dismissed rejoining the JCPOA after Iran extended an offer? Yeah, seriously. This is like a uniquely Obama thing. The Biden admin didn't want the JCPOA because the Biden admin was doing what Israel wanted it to. I'm sorry, but it really is that simple. Israel hated the JCPOA because Israel wants war with Iran and has for a long time. Biden was infinitely deferential to Israel on basically every imaginable level, and as such, they were uninterested in the JCPOA. After the Supreme Leader of Iran signaled a willingness to return to nuclear negotiations with the United States, the Biden admin cast doubt on the likelihood of resuming talks in the near future. "We will judge Iran's leadership by their actions, not their words," a State Department spokesman said Tuesday. "If Iran wants to demonstrate seriousness or a new approach, they should stop nuclear escalations and start meaningfully cooperating with the IAEA, they added, referencing the International Atomic Energy Agency, an intergovernmental watchdog that Tehran has often subverted. That's what the JCPOA is for. Look at this. Look at how openly contradictory this is. Keep in mind, this is under Biden. The State Department spokesperson said the administration still saw a negotiated solution as the best way to contain Iran's nuclear program, but that Iran's failure to cooperate with the IAEA and its escalatory actions made diplomacy impossible. What? We think that a negotiated solution is the best way to contain their program, but we are unwilling to negotiate a solution because Iran is not preemptively following the guidelines set by international organizations that we would have to negotiate them into joining. The JCPOA was the negotiated solution, but they don't want to do it again because Iran isn't already abiding by what the outcome of the negotiated solution would be. This is doublespeak. This is, we know this isn't the real explanation from Biden's administration, right? We all know that? We're all aware of that? Is it a 2024 article? Yep. Post October 7th, the Iranian regime reached out to the Biden administration and said that they were interested in renegotiating in talks. The Iranian regime reached out. And Biden was like, nah, don't think so. So they were preparing an intervention. Well, what exactly do you think the long-term outcome is going to be of Iran is building nuclear weapons? There's no way to stop them through diplomacy. Iran must never have nuclear weapons. What exactly do you think America and or Israel is going to do long-term if those are like the tenets leading up? Kamala says that Iran is the greatest threat to America right now. The Biden regime refuses to negotiate with Iran over rejoining the JCPOA. Everyone says it's clear that Iran can never have nukes. What did you think was going to happen? The problem is Harris probably would not have been able to get back in the JCPOA anyway. It was probably too late by then anyway. She didn't want to. How can we know? Iran wanted to negotiate, and we didn't.